Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for coming out today to share with the Harper family as we remember and celebrate the life of Colleen Harper. Won't you pray with me? Our Lord and our God, we acknowledge your presence here today, and we come before your throne this afternoon as friends and family of Miss Colleen Harper. We are here because we love her, we miss her, we want to cherish the memory of her and honor her life. Some are here today who may not have had the privilege of knowing Mrs. Harper personally, but they're here because they know and they love her family and her friends. We thank you that they are here to support the family as they grieve her passing. Passing of a life from this life to everlasting life with you, our Lord. And therefore, Lord, we thank you for Colleen Harper. You formed her and you knew her and you walked with her through her 90 years of this earthly life. You were beside her from her beginning. You formed her in her mother's womb before she was prematurely born. And your spirit began to dwell within her and seal her as your own when she was adopted as your daughter when she was reborn as an adult. And therefore, Lord, according to your word, we have confidence that she is now with you in your presence. So thank you that you are the God of mercy who promises to comfort us, particularly in times like this, in these moments right now, and in the weeks and the months ahead. Lord, we pray that you bring comfort and mercy to her family and her friends who fondly remember Miss Colleen Harper. We thank you, Lord. We give you this service. In the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing an opening hymn, which is a very, very special hymn to the family. It's called "He Hideth My Soul." So while the pianist goes up to the piano, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this song in the family's hearts. You see, Alden, Colleen's husband, Jim's dad, went to the Navy when he was only 15 years old. He went to the Second World War. And while he was on a ship in the Pacific, the ship docked at a beach and the soldiers went off to fight. And the commanding officer kept him back because he was so young. But he still had a rifle. And while he was there, two Japanese soldiers began to approach. And he was a very sharp shooter, and he shot both of them. And what is customary, they went and they searched the bodies. And on the bodies, he found photos of their families. And this hit him hard for the rest of his life. And even when he was aged and ailing in his bed, in his last days, in his sleep, he would say things like, "Get down, get down." But not only that, he would sing. And he would sing this song, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." So in honor of him, and Miss Colleen, and the family, let's stand and let's sing, "He hideth my soul."
Shadows of my thirst.
Pastor Bobby McCoy, who is the pastor of Oak Ridge Baptist Church, and Colleen's pastor, to share a eulogy with us.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. And I want to thank Pastor Greg and his family just for the love that they bestowed upon the Harpers. And so thank you for that. Grateful to have known Colleen. And great to know Jim, Barbara, and Jesse as well. One of the first elements that came to my mind when I think of Colleen Harper was just the gracefulness in which she lived. And so my mind started racing, trying to quantify that by way of Scripture and looking at different verses. John chapter 1, verse 16 jumped out in my reading. And then I started looking at my calendar and realized that was the exact same passage that we were going to be looking at in our church. But I want to read verse 16 just to give some context. In describing Jesus Christ, it says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." That imagery is powerful. Grace for grace. And when you think of Colleen Harper and her family, that is so evident. If you can imagine being out in the ocean and looking at the sea and watching the waves, looking out through the horizon and looking at the water that just never seems to end, you start to get a little bit of an idea of what God's grace is like. God's grace is manifest in so many ways, and here particularly in this passage, it centers upon him taking on human flesh and dwelling with man. It centers around being able to reveal God to us. But he truly is the fullness of all that we would ever have or need. And I think of Colleen Harper. My recollection of her, she and I had a lot in common in the sense that we were both in wheelchairs at that point in time in which she came into my life. I remember well when she came to a Bridge Baptist Church with her family, and at the time, they would bring Colleen in a wheelchair, and I still remember trying to get her into the classroom, probably not the best layout in the world for a wheelchair. I tried to go on myself and realize it's kind of tight, but nevertheless, she was there for Sunday school, and going forward, when she joined the church, I remember Pastor Craig, who just a lover of people and a great man. Just kneeling down there, and Pastor Craig would check in on her and the Harpers regularly. And he was such a blessing in that regard. Those are my first thoughts of her, seeing her there in her wheelchair, being able to speak to her, and to see her in church and her family making the efforts there. And it was short-lived. It didn't last long. Just with her health, she needed some care. And the grace that poured out on part of her family, just her son, Barbara, Jesse, other family, just overwhelming. Jim and I have talked a lot about this, just the advocacy in which you must have for loved ones in skilled care situations. And unfortunately, the experience wasn't the most pleasant, resulting in her coming to live with the Harpers. But the Harpers put a lot of effort in converting a room, a little, I guess, an offshoot of the garage, if I remember correctly, there, and then creating a little apartment for her to live in. And so I liked it because it was handicapped accessible, no steps. Try getting that in East Tennessee, right? And so it was very convenient to be able to just zip in there and to go see her. But whether it was there in the nursing home for the season that she was there, or there in that little apartment behind the garage, I enjoyed those times. And just enjoyed looking at her, sometimes reading scripture, praying with her. And she loved, it seemed to me that she loved it when my kids came. And so I always made a point of either bringing, at the time, Grace or Daniel with me, and just explaining on the ride over, and then afterwards, the ride back, the opportunity and the joy that comes just in seeing a younger little body, you know, and so certainly enjoyed our visits. But I know that all of that is only a representation of the work that God did in her heart, but the work that God has done in the heart of her family as well. And that's probably the other dynamic that stands out in my mind about Colleen Harper, is just the intense love. I know you all, we were just talking about it. The adjustments that had begun as a result of her not being here anymore. And the routine was so set and scheduled. And these days, there is that void. And I have prayed for you all in that regard, that God would continue to guard and guide and protect and comfort there in this. But I'm also thankful to think of Colleen, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She's experiencing life now in the fullest of ways, in ways that only you and I can imagine and someday dream to as we're face to face with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was one other element just of my visits, and Jessica's here today. That was the other staple there was Jessica, her caregiver, was always present. Most of the time, maybe once, when I was over there, she was not. And so just grateful for that constant care and love that she was able to demonstrate there to Colleen. But thankful that Colleen knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And when I think about the fullness, grace upon grace, that element of the Harpers definitely stands out in my mind. Pastor Greg.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Well, Hazel Colleen Harper was born on July 2nd, 1928 in Liberal, Kansas. That was just before the Great Depression hit. She was born prematurely, 2.5 pounds, folks. No fancy incubators in those days like they have today, so her doctor said, give her goat's milk and keep her warm by the stove. And she lived till 90. She had scoliosis and other issues in her spine. She had these problems all her life, but she grew up strong. When her folks moved to California, they had a hamburger stand. And she and her sister Lois helped with the hamburgers and the shakes. She went to McKinley Junior High, Lassen High School in Susanville, California. She couldn't do PE because of her ailments, so she became the checkout gal in the gym class. But she was smart, so she was the editor of a high school newspaper. She met her husband, Alden, at the swimming pool, a local swimming pool, and they became childhood sweethearts. But Alden, as we said earlier, went to the Navy at 15 years old. But after he returned, they were married in Reno, Nevada, on April 2nd, 1948, and were married for 54 years. Four kids, Richard, Rick, and Thomas, and Nancy, and James, Jim, over here. And they moved from the great metropolis of Susanville, California, to the country. And on the first day in the country, Jim's sister Nancy was stung by fire ants. And the neighbor's goats chased Colleen back into the house and was butting its head against the kitchen door. But over time, Colleen sweetly survived all of that and all of Nancy's stray animals. She adopted a snake and birds and multiple cats and dogs. The family best remembers says Mom enjoyed two things. One thing was reading. She was a ferocious reader, history and historical fiction. She would walk several miles to the library in Twin Falls in the dead of winter just to get some books. But the other thing she loved to do was splitting and getting wood. She was a wood-getting, splitting machine. And this is what the family did on the weekends. This was the Saturday for the kids. The kids loved it. Not really. And Saturday morning activity was go with Mom and Dad and put wood on the truck. And Mom and Dad would argue. Dad would say, there's enough wood on the truck. And according to Colleen, there was almost always space for one little piece of wood. And so when Dad was not looking, she'd slip another piece of wood onto the truck. She would split wood until she was 75 years old. Well, Jesse was talking about this and said they didn't need a fence around the house. They just had piles of wood. There was like a fortress around. Although she was a full-time mom and a wife, keeper of the home, there was a time when Jim was young that she worked as a custodian in the local elementary school. And Jim would help her in the evenings. Eventually, this became Jim's job from the 6th to the 8th grade. She was often in the kitchen, no dishwasher, washing those dishes, cooking up a storm, cooking things from scratch. Mom loved to can things from Dad's garden, fruits and vegetables. She'd cook pies in bulk. Sometimes she'd cook as many pies as there were people. And how about butchering those chickens and put them in the freezer? It was the kid's job to take all the feathers off of all those chickens. But in one day, she did 31 chickens. And I guess you guys had to pluck 31 chickens as well. But she was always making sure that people were taken care of. Her whole life was built around that. She loved her family. She loved simplicity. She was hardworking and hardworking to meet her family's needs. And she was frugal. Frugal. Again, we said she grew up during the Great Depression. So the first 10 years, the first decade of her life was the Great Depression. Those were her formative years. So her motto was do not waste anything. And she couldn't throw anything out. How about food? Even if it didn't look good. Throw a bit of something else on top of it, spruce it up, and hey presto. The family spoke about it. Some corn she took out of the fridge and it didn't look very good. So a little bit of good corn on top. Bob's your uncle. There you go. Her husband, Alden, sometimes had to work 3 jobs to make ends meet. He worked in a grocery store. And you know, in a grocery store, when the labels come off of those cans, you can't sell them. So their pantry was stocked full of label-less cans. So whatever you had for dinner that night was often a surprise. I guess Forrest Gump would say, life was like supper at the Harper's home. You never know what you're going to get, right? But if a can was open, you couldn't waste it. You had to eat it. She didn't like to waste. How about the milk, too? The milk would reach its sell-by date. They had to bring it home. And sometimes it was a little bit chunky. But the Harpers would just say, hey, milk with pulp. Did I mention she was frugal? Mom was frugal. Don't waste a thing. Don't waste your life. And that's why her salvation experience, she was the first one in the family to know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. Sam Hood, the local pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, led her to the Lord, and she became a faithful member of that church. And Jim remembers when he was just a little guy, maybe 4 or 5 years old, all 4 of the kids walking with Mom 3 or 4 blocks from the house on First Street going to church. Dad didn't come along because Dad didn't know Jesus at that stage. It took a long time, but eventually, after a long while, through Colleen's life and testimony, both Dad and all 4 of the kids came to know Christ. Jim's brother, Richard, or Rick, was engaged to a gal by the name of Cheryl, and he went off to a Navy boot camp. And so this gal kind of just popped up in the house, and she started showing around and wanted to play games and get close to the family. And so Colleen began to pray for her son's future wife and had biblical conversations with her. And the outcome today was that they were saved, and the 2 daughters were saved. One today is a pastor's wife, and the other one in business with a beautiful Christian testimony. Colleen had a close friend. Her name was Marge Campbell, or Margie, as they knew her. And she'd invite her to come to church, and her fire aunt Nancy told her she remembered how almost every day Mom would go and visit Margie with a Bible with her to tell her about Jesus. And eventually Margie was saved. But Margie had a husband. His name was Ken. And Ken came to know Jesus. And Ken became a Sunday school teacher. And guess whose Sunday school teacher he became? Little Jimmy over here. And Jim came to know Christ that way. So look at the ripple effect of this lady's life as she shared Christ. She was a disciple maker. She was an active member of her church. She got involved in the church as a church treasurer. She'd work on those books and work on those books. And Jim recalls a time when there was a discrepancy of only 10 cents and she couldn't reconcile it. So she took a dime and a piece of tape and stuck it on the book and said, there you go. And she would sit with the kids in Awana and work with those kids and listen to their memory verses. She was a disciple maker. She was an active member. But if you ask Carlene how she considered herself, just a simple homebody. But the impact and the ripple effect of her disciple-making life was far-reaching. Her family, her friends, her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. And although Carlene didn't have the easiest of lives, as we said, she was born prematurely, 2.5 pounds. Scoliosis, other ailments. She had a difficult family life growing up. And when she got married, she had a difficult life. She became a Christian. Her husband wasn't saved for years. And that was very difficult for her as the spiritual leader of the home with these 4 young children. Eventually, Dad coming around. But she was always patient. She was content and had an amazing spirit. And even in the last years, when they moved her from Idaho to the southeast to be with family because of her health, the kids were an absolute wreck because mom was giving up so much and giving up home and giving up her dog. Yet she was contented and smiled and never complained. In the 10.5 years, as she slowly declined, she never complained once. Confined in that bed, even in the assisted living home, Jim tells a story of how a lady would come to visit her loved one to be a blessing and an encouragement. But she said to Jim, you know what, I'd always come to your mom because she was such a blessing to me. And even after her ability to speak was gone for those last 2 years, you could see the contentment and peace in her eyes. Not angry, not bitter, not sad, just contented. She could have been bitter, but she wasn't. Because her life verse was Romans chapter 8. And verse 28. And it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And on the night that she passed away, the family remembers 2 things. The one is Jim leant over and he kissed his mom on the cheek. There was a tear welled up in her eye. And that tear was a tear of saying, goodbye, my son. And as Jim was stroking her head and Barbara at his side, at 8:18 p.m. on January 18th, she passed away from this life into glory. And Jim said, you know, wouldn't it have been neat if she had just stayed for 10 more minutes? Because then she would have passed away at 8:28, which was her life verse. But the next morning, Barbara opened up her Bible and she read Romans 8:18. The time that Carlene passed away. And this is what it says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You see, when she passed away at 8:18, she moved right in to that glory. She knew it completely. Barbara says that Carlene's life was like the story of a pearl. And when she told me that, I didn't know what she meant. So I went home and I read up about the story of a pearl. And you know how a pearl works? How an oyster has a parasite that comes in, or sand that comes in. The parasite gnaws its way through the shell, or a piece of sand gets in and it goes into that flesh and it becomes a pest and a nuisance and an irritant and trouble, an invader. But what this oyster does is on the inside of that shell is mother of pearl. And it's called nacre. And that nacre comes and it begins to cover up that intruder, that problem, that trouble. And it just covers it, and it does another coating and another coating. And over time, a beautiful, precious pearl develops. And when you open up one of these oysters, sometimes you can find several pearls, not just one, because of all those pests and invaders and problems and troubles that have come into its life. And that's what she did. Because she knew this verse. God takes all my troubles and all my problems and all those pests and troublemaking things and turns them into beautiful, good things. Do you know what that good is? That good is found in the very next verse, verse 19. And verse 19 tells us God's purpose. Verse 19 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son." So God had a plan. God's plan is just take everything, all the good things that happen in our life, and all the trouble and hardship in our life, and use it for his good purpose. What's his good purpose? To conform his people into the image of his Son. You see, right in the beginning when God made Adam and Eve, he made man in his image. But man and his wife fell into sin. When they had two sons, the one killed the other. A picture of the sinfulness and the evil that had come into their lives. And then they had another son. And Genesis chapter 5 says, Genesis 5 verse 1, that a son named Seth. And he was born in the image of Adam. Adam means man. Not longer the image of God, but the image of the fallen, wretched sinner. But before God made Adam and Eve, God predestined. He knew. He knows all things. He knew they were going to sin. And he said, "I'm going to send my one and only Son to die. And so that these people will be saved. And they will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. They will never lose that salvation. And they will be sanctified, trained, changed, and conformed and transformed into the image of my Son, who is the image of the invisible God." That's God's plan. To remake mankind into his image. And that's what happened in Colleen's life. When she came to know Jesus Christ, all of her hardship, all of her problems, she said, "God, I am committed that you'll use us for the good, to make a precious pearl, that you will transform me, conform me into Jesus." That's the hope, not for everybody, but for those who love him. That's the key. So the question for us today is, do you love him? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But do you believe in him? Do you trust in him? Do you love him? Because if you do, he will, through every situation in your life, transform you. Colleen hated to waste. And I believe if she was here today, she would tell us that she loves her family. I think she would say, I believe she'd say thank you to Jim and Barbara for bringing me into your home. She would say thank you to her caregivers and her chaplains and her pastor for coming and visiting and praying and singing to her. And she'd say thank you to Jessica, her caregiver and friend, for those 4 years of being by her side. But I believe she'd say this as well. She'd say, don't waste a thing. Every problem, every trouble, if you know Jesus, he will turn your life into a precious, precious pearl. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life that you gave Miss Colleen Harper. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the life and the eternal life that we can experience as she did if we surrender our lives to you. Thank you that in such a time of grief and sadness and sorrow, we can find comfort and hope. We can experience peace for our troubled hearts if we trust and follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're preparing an eternal home for all who trust and follow and are transformed by you. Help us, Lord, each one of us, to trust and believe you right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude this afternoon, Colleen's favorite hymn is "Blessed Redeemer." Let's stand together and let's sing her favorite song.
Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, O Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on a cross, that he might save them from from endless cross. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, sinners pleading, blinded on healing, dying for me. Father, forgive them, said our Savior, pray. Even my life but flow fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Sinners pleading, blinded and bleeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my soul shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blinded and bleeding, dying for me.
Let's pray. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will live even though they die. But whoever lives and believes in me will never, ever die. Almighty God, in your perfect wisdom, you've taken out of this world Hazel Colleen Harper, whom you love. But we look toward the blessed hope when the Lord Jesus Christ himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and after that, we who are still alive, we who are in Christ Jesus, will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with the Lord forever. Now may the grace and the peace of God, who brought the Lord Jesus Christ back from the dead, make you know Him as Savior. May the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
So I just want to make one comment. This is an unscripted part. So normally at this time, we would take her body and go to a cemetery and see her body put into the ground, and or at least put at the cemetery. And we did that this week. And I didn't realize, we haven't had a death in our family for a long, long time, and yet lifted a weight off of my shoulders when we were there at the cemetery, and she was safe. So not only is she safe in heaven, but she's safe there. She's waiting for that resurrection. And so I just want to assure you, especially her caregivers and all of you that have had part of her life, and everybody in this room has had a part of her life in the last number of years, that first of all, she would want us to thank you, and we thank you all from the bottom of our hearts. And also that she is safe. So just wanted to share that, since we don't have that opportunity to go out to a cemetery and take part of that service. So thank you again for coming. It's a really nice support. And for honoring her